Welcome to SFH Presents, the One and a Third podcast with your host, Zach Polk.
I like that too, but I do like, you know, animation titties. Oh, that everyone has someone in their life that deals with the shit that I deal with.
And featuring Tyler Southern.
You want me to rub your feet? You want me to get the bath running? Something? Can I help you relax?
Now turn that shit up.
Welcome to SFH Presents, the One and a Third podcast. I am your host, Zach Polk. And with me, we have our co-host, Ty motherfucking Southern. I don't think I'm supposed to say fucking the first 2 minutes or whatever, but I don't know. I think you can demonetize nothing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Just a reminder, we're not medical professionals. We are just a couple of dudes talking to people. Real people wanting to hear everybody's story, wanting to connect on some shit, talk about mental health and a litany of other things, including fucking Avatar, whatever Ty happens to have on his mind, Pokemon video games. Who knows where the hell it'll go. But with us today, we have Chris Adamson. Ooh. Chris was brought to me by a buddy of mine, TJ Dorfel, actually, as the famous Dorfel family. He had started watching the podcast, and he showed it to Chris, and Chris watched it. Chris has went through the whole thing, which was amazing, and has his story. He's ex-military. And I immediately wanted to get you on. As soon as he told me all that, I'm like, let's fucking go, dude. Let's get him in here. So
let's move.
But changing the question a little bit from the way I've normally been doing it, what does SFH or still fucking here mean to you?
Well, a little bit of my overview, what some of the stuff I've been through. I grew up in a poor, a low income household where both of my parents suffered drug addiction. So I had strong history of abuse all the way up through my teenage years.
Fuck.
Then I got into the military, which that stuff kind of drove me into the military. And then at the age of 23, I separated from the military with a medical discharge, lost my mother, and went through a divorce.
Damn.
Since then, we have taken on three extra children to our two biological children with my new wife due to drug addiction as well. And, man, I've just been fighting that fight, but here I am, still fucking here.
Son of a bitch.
Did you end up getting closer with your mother before she passed?
We had a pretty good relationship. But
at first,
I
didn't want to say good riddance, but like the first part with all the abuse talk, yeah. I was just like, I mean, was it a bad thing? Question mark.
So I have very good memories, but I also now reflecting on some of that stuff, I question a lot of things.
Well, condolences all the same. That's no fun.
Yeah. I mean, with drug addiction, there's a lot of manipulation, you know, with trying to get money here or there. And then you wondered, is this because I'm being manipulated or is this because she's truly seeking something from me?
Yeah.
From like an emotional standpoint or something like that.
Yeah, you end up having to reevaluate every single interaction y'all had throughout at least this year to this year to this year to this year. That would be emotionally taxing to say the least.
I've never had a direct, a consistent interaction with someone that had a bad addiction problem. I've had it near me, but not in my life. And standing on the outside, I used to get more angry about it. And now that I've understood that it's just another mental illness, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't excuse anything that was done to you or what they did, but you're also like, fuck, man, what did they go through to take that path? You know, or was it just there's many ways to get to an addiction. Do you know what I mean? But oftentimes it's some kind of issue, some kind of lacking something, some emptiness, some something that causes you to go down that road. And once you're caught in it, it's damn hard to get out of it.
A manifestation of trauma.
Yeah. I definitely believe in, like, some people have more of an addictive personality, that traits that can lead them to be more addicted to certain substances and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that my mom knew that she had a problem. I don't think she knew how to address it.
Okay.
And then, you know, ultimately that ended up taking her life.
Wow.
And if you want, I can dive deeper into that story.
Sure.
I was going to say, wherever you want to start, man.
I mean, we can start there. I'll back it up a little bit because I got married after deployment to Afghanistan in 2012. Went through a rocky relationship and ended up getting medically discharged and got it back home in September of 2014.
Okay.
And then my ex-wife then had abandoned me. And so I waited the 6 months in the state of New York because I was stationed with the 10th Mountain Division and I filed for all that. So we get back here September 2014 and then I immediately got a little rental place actually from my grandparents and my mom ended up moving in with me.
Okay.
As I was going through dealing with separation and then also separation.
Yeah.
Separation from the military and separation from my ex-wife. Yeah,
both are their own brand of jarring, having been through both myself.
And so she lived with me till that December. She was with me till December. And then woke up one night and she was just slumped over on the couch. And so I immediately knew something was wrong. And so I went into CLS because I did combat lifesaver in the military and started doing all the things, making sure everybody's clear and all that stuff, immediately called 911. So I was the one that found her and tried to resuscitate her.
Fuck.
And then the EMT showed up, took over. And then I had to, at that point I had to go right across the street, like half a block to wake her mother up, my grandmother, and let her know that she had passed away.
Fuck, dude.
Excuse me.
I don't have words for the level of fuck.
So we get to the hospital, all that stuff's going down, and it's in the middle of the night. And my grandfather actually was a trucker. He's retired now, and so he had come back from running his night shift, running stuff from, because we live in Middle Tennessee, just outside of Murfreesboro, and he run to Knoxville, which is about a 2.5 hour trip every night. And so I ended up having to go pick him up from his job to take him to the hospital too.
Bam.
For that.
You didn't have enough going on.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Through all those three things at the same time, that was the lowest point I've ever been in my life.
Understandably so.
Yeah. Fuck,
Jesus.
Dude.
Yeah. The military trains you for, you know, your buddy getting hurt or your buddy dying. And you half expect it. It's in the back of your head. But, like, there's no preparing for not only finding your mother in that state, but then having to tell her mother. Did she have any siblings? Like, or was this grandma's child kind of situation, too?
She has one sibling. I have one
but
uncle.
Either way, I mean, that don't make it any easier either. But just, and then had to make a 2 hour run to get, oh, my God.
Yeah, dude, that is unbelievable. That is an unbelievable amount of weight
being
on a person. And being a man, you know, and we all know how difficult it is to go through those things properly as men's mental health is never front and center. Like, we're all supposed to tough through everything, power through everything. You can't feel anything. You know, it's just kind of the way society looks at men.
And you're a soldier, so they think that you're going to handle it better somehow.
With being a soldier, they teach you to bottle that up and deal with it later.
Compartmentalize.
And so I'd say that was something that was real hard for me too. And it's been a struggle within my marriage now is learning how to feel again, have emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. Going numb's all too easy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's another military thing though. A lot of military men, you can just kind of tell there's almost an even keel in a good way of their personality, but you know that those highs and those the feelings are just completely different. How they compartmentalize things and how they deal with shit is just considerably different for the most part.
Yeah, I had a point after that. After we made it through that situation, I stayed pretty steeled for my family until when I went and picked up my grandfather. I immediately broke down, started crying with him. I could not look that man in his eyes, and I didn't know how to tell him that his daughter had died. You know, my mother, because my grandfather was such an inspiration in my life. He was the one that put my blue cord on when I graduated from as an infantryman.
All right.
In the Army, they wear a blue cord over their shoulder as part of the uniform items when they are in the infantry.
Oh, okay.
So it's a big honor when you get it, and who pins it on you is all. It's an honor. It's a big thing for That's the awesome. Non-military listening, and for Zach, who didn't know what a blue cord was for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask my kids, why is the sky blue, they tell you because God loves the infantry.
Yeah, right.
Then why is it raining? We ain't raining, is it? We ain't training if it ain't raining.
Fort Drum.
But yeah, I broke down with him, and then I had a pretty big break after that too. After about a month later, with alcohol involved, and I may or may not have threatened an entire block that I would kill them all or myself.
I'm sure that block earned it though.
Yeah. but luckily I had a really good friend show up, and she drove me around to about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and then put me back in the bed. And that was probably the only thing that kept me out of jail.
Damn. So did you take any kind of path with any other drugs, or was it just alcohol?
No. From my childhood, so my parents manufactured, used, and sold drugs growing up.
The trifecta.
Yes, all of them. And it hit me in such a way that I wouldn't even go buy a pack of cigarettes. And even coming back from my first deployment, I did not touch any form of alcohol for months. I was to that point, and then I finally got comfortable drinking a couple of beers. But as far as any kind of other drug, I've experimented with marijuana before, but nothing else.
Yeah, it's almost not a drug.
The VA has they try to get me on pain pills, but they can't even get me to take meloxicam. I won't do it. Nothing.
Good on you, man.
Don't do that. Yeah. I love hearing all that. Everything you just said is fan-fucking-tastic.
Oh, yeah.
It goes to the old anecdote of the alcoholic raises his two sons. Once one becomes an alcoholic and one never touches it. It's just it's how you process the trauma and whatnot. And I'm super glad that you weren't just like, well, all right, I know how to make a lot of the best shit out there, so I'm just going to get all of it high. I mean, you had the means to really go to town on yourself.
So you don't think you ever, you don't think you inherited the addictive personality when it came to substances like that?
No.
Or are you scared you did, so you don't even try them?
No, I still drink, but I've learned to... I've learned what my limit is. I stick to that limit.
You've adjusted your relationship to it rather than deny yourself something.
And then I have a relationship with it now to where if I feel like it's a problem, I just completely quit it. I just set it down.
Yeah.
It's not going to rule me. I want to be available for my wife now. I want to be available for my children, and nothing's going to rule me past that.
Five of them.
I love that.
I would say you have a lot of motivation to be of sound mind and body, and I love that too.
I actually got my tattoo. I was in the 3rd Brigade with 10th Mountain, so we were the Spartan Brigade. So I have a Spartan armor set.
All right.
And around the edge of the shield, it says family, faith, and honor, and in that order. I believe that family is the root of everything. And so you must take care of family first, period. Well, and I will set aside my faith and my honor to do so. And then faith comes next, and faith needs to be derived from family. And then honor. A man's honor should be the last thing that he's concerned with, because of those other two things should come first no matter what.
So fucking hyped up right now. you're talking my language, sir. This is battle cry shit. Like I got goosebumps. I'm literally like amped the fuck up right now.
I know I'm like kind of all over the place, but I'd actually like to jump into something else if you're cool with that, Ty. Listening, like Zach said, I've listened to every episode. So the day TJ sent me the podcast, I listened to that first episode, and I listened to you talk about your relationship with your ex-wife and her battle with depression or anxiety, and that you didn't understand, and you were trying to fix.
Yep.
My wife suffers from depression and anxiety.
Current wife?
And I was... Yes, current
Sorry,
wife.
Making sure we're on the right.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I got you. You're good. And I was trying too hard and not paying attention to something that I didn't know. And so it actually led to some very big adult conversations about, hey, I don't know, I've not experienced this. Let me back up and let's try this from a couple different angles, because I want to be here and support you through what you're going through that I don't understand, in the same way that she doesn't understand everything with me being diagnosed with PTSD.
You're saying what I was saying?
What you said.
Led to all of that?
Yes. Because we had had an argument the night before I listened to the podcast. And man, it made an immediate change in our mindset and the way that we're handling things moving forward. So you're making a difference. And man, ever since TJ said I could get on here, I've been so excited.
Bro, I don't... I wasn't ready for all that. You don't know how grateful I am that you're here to tell us that.
Yeah, dude.
But, dude, man, I'm going to let Zach take the wheel for a second.
Yeah, I think I can speak for both of us. You know, we talk all the time with the SFH gang, who Ty's a part of. When we started this whole thing, and the entire time we do it, even on a regular basis within the last couple weeks, we've said it. Just one person is good enough. And we've had several people come to us with stories or a text about how much it means to them. And it's like, it's never been about numbers, man. We want to make the world a better place through one fucking human being and share what we've been through to try to help people through that. And just to have the open fucking honest conversation publicly, where people don't want to talk about things or people don't want to go deep on that. And good on you for reflecting on your own self and looking in the mirror and going, if I want to make this better, I'm going to have to come to the table with some new things. That's incredible, man. I can't express what that means to me.
I don't have the words either. And that is an odd thing for me to, it's an odd feeling, because I'm all words all the time. And that, like he said, we've talked about it from the beginning, touch one life and we've succeeded. Yep. And hell, between, oh, God dang, we have two on record and I'm dating the first one. the fact that you were able to hear that and resonate with it, and then not only, I'm sure there was some ego swallowing and some pride swallowing that came with, look, I don't know how to do this. Tell me how to do this. And the conversations that y'all had to have had. One, I'm just, God, moved isn't the word either, but think about moved on steroids, because I can't find it. But the fact that you came here to tell me that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a same thing with my children is, growing up, I had two parents in the household, but to what degree were they there?
Yeah.
With my father, he worked hard and still works hard to this day, but he's not emotionally available for me most of the time. Now, if I have a trouble or I'm in trouble and I call him and need him here, he'll be here.
Right.
But if I call him to ask him to come visit, he's not here.
Yeah.
And so one discussion I've had with my wife is I'm trying to learn how to parent my children because I wasn't parented. I survived my childhood.
On a lesser scale, I had to deal with such a thing because I had to learn how to be a leader in the Marines based off of piss poor leadership. I had so many terrible examples of the type of leader I never wanted to be. And I basically was just like, all right, flip that. Never do that. Like, exact opposite of this one. and stuff like that. But I never had to worry about it on that scale. Important scale.
It's something where I hope that they can look back one day and realize, even if all the things that I get wrong, that I'm trying something way better, way different than what I went through when I was younger.
I think, you know, even if your upbringing was good and your parents did a great job, parenting is maybe the hardest thing on the planet. I don't know if there's a thing harder, because it's got the high, while it does have the, you know, the greatest reward, it has the biggest consequence as well, because you can't think of anything you know, that that would be worse than fucking up your kids who you love more than your own self. And so it's, there's no roadmap to it, you know, even if you, you grew up in a good space with that. But it, but it's like, I think there's a point where kids, and I know I went through it, but I'm even kind of seeing my kids go through it, where they grow to realize you're just a fucking flawed human like they are. And they stop, you know, when you think, well, I'm not doing this right, or I'm, there's parts of parenting where you fuck up because inevitably you're gonna, there's no perfect parent. But I think there will be a point where they'll understand you and they'll appreciate the effort more than anything.
Yeah. Well, that's a, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say one thing I've realized, especially with my second marriage, my successful marriage is what I'm going to call it.
Is, the winner.
The one and only now is that work. You can love all you want, but it takes work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to be willing to put that in and maintain it. And that's what took those big conversations between me and my wife. I had to be willing to put in the work and, like Ty said, swallow a little bit of pride and go.
And I, it all comes down to, like, with guys, we talk about it all the time, just the fact that, like, you think you need to be right from the get, or you need to fill this particular role, or you need to do it exactly like this, or you can't show this or do that. And it all comes down to, like, why not? And who is going to hold you accountable to these weird manly standards that we all kind of innately have somewhere in our head? And just look, no. And my father has always had that, like, infallibility where, like, if he's wrong, you're not going to be the one to point it out to him. And he's still that way in a lot of ways. But that is something I chose to very much change in my tactic. Like, when I mess up, or if I overdo it, or if I get to hollering about something, but I misunderstood it, you know, when I calm down, I'll be like, look, daddy just messed up. Like, I went way too hard just then, or I misunderstood entirely, or I was trying to do this and you were doing that and it just, everything got out of control. You know, like, let them know from the get-go that I'm doing everything I can. I need you to be on my team so we can both get this shit done. rather than the way my dad handled it, which, I mean, I didn't want for anything as a child, and I love my father. I'm very proud of who my father is and who I've become because of their parenting. Please never get that wrong. But I just, that's not how I wanted to handle it.
Yeah.
Anyway, because I'm wrong more than I'm right.
Yeah, we're definitely not scared to sit down and say, hey, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was too rough.
Whoops.
And we go a step further with it, and we let them either accept or deny the apology.
Mm. Okay. I like that.
And then that way it gives them time to sit down and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that strategy has worked very well for us so far.
That's fucking brilliant, really.
I like that a lot, because mine is one of the things I'm working on with my daughter, at least, is apologizing and then almost instantly doing the thing again. I'm just like, look, don't even apologize if you're going to immediately go back to it. Like, you need to save your breath. Be like, I'll try to do better or something. Like, don't just hit me with that, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Then the next thing out of your mouth is attitude that we were just talking about or whatever else. And I'm just trying to get to the point of words count, but if you don't have actions behind them, they don't.
Yeah.
So that's
absolutely.
My kids being raised between two households, their mother isn't easy for her to say, I'm sorry. And I'm very apologetic when I need to be. And I've always kind of been that way. So my kids kind of have lived with her more and have kind of taken that. It's really hard for them to say, I'm sorry.
I say too much.
I think there's a lot of people like that. I think there's a lot of people in society who have a hard time just saying they're sorry because it's a pride and ego thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really important thing for kids to learn at an early age. You know, that people are fallible. People fuck up. And being able to say you're sorry and take responsibility for that means far more than what actually happened. Sometimes with my son, especially, like, something will happen and we'll get into it and it'll escalate. And I'm like, dude, I'm way less mad about what you did than that you didn't take responsibility for it. So I don't know. I'm doing a good job with that.
that.
Yeah, it's real hard with the youngest one, because so
be. Yeah, what's the age span? Five. Of
so
these
we got
kids?
7, 6, 5, 4, and 2.
Damn.
So a little over 2 years ago, we got a call from the state. From the state of Tennessee, Department of Children's Services, and they said you got 2 hours to make a decision. There is an infant in the hospital right now that is in state custody, and we're looking for somewhere to place her and her brother and her sister. And so within a two-hour time span, me and my wife made a decision that changed the lives of me, her, and our two children forever. Wow. And decided to take that on.
Go from 2 to 5 overnight, too, though.
And so, good news is they're officially adopted, so I can talk about all this stuff. So, we officially adopted last year at the end of July.
All right.
But
congrats.
We dealt with foster care for a year and a half. But the baby was born with multiple substances in her system and was an NAS and spent 20 days in the NICU.
Fuck.
And her parents abandoned her at the hospital, which is my youngest sister. So they're my nieces and nephews.
Not anymore.
And so we've raised the baby. We brought her home from the hospital. We've raised her since the day she got out of the hospital. Of course, we got to go see her before then, but
yeah.
But yeah, when they said that they called you, I was confused as to, like, are you on a list? And then. Because
next again,
I'm tracking now, and I figured you might not want to say it, so I was like, I'm gonna keep that in my back pocket. I'm sorry to hear that about the first part, but I mean,
I would assume your sister, same parents.
Yes, all the kids have the same parents. Yeah.
So she took the addiction. She took
way.
On that.
Yes.
Connection with addiction.
Yes. My youngest sister is in and out of jail, addicted, and is very manipulative.
Wow.
To the point that the some of the stories we got out during this, and since the case is now closed, I can talk about it full disclosure and everything. But some of what these kids went through, their mother would go by, use her food stamps to buy stuff at Walmart and Hot Deli and not get them anything. It got to the point to where when she was around, when she still had custody of the kids, we would rip open bags of diapers to make sure she wouldn't return them. That they would actually get used for the kids.
Jesus Christ.
That's fucking wild, dude.
Statistically, I know that should have been me too. With what we grew up in.
Yeah.
One of my best friends used to be, he's no longer around. We grew up, our families were so close. We were raised in the same crib.
Wow.
And when we hit high school, I started training and preparing for the military, and he turned to drugs. He turned to addiction. And now he has a rap sheet, been in and out of jail his entire life, has a kid that he does not have custody of in a different state. And has never met my children. And won't.
Yeah, for sure.
That's wild, man. That's, it goes back to, it's like, it's hard for me to listen to the story as probably anybody and to not get angry at your sister or get angry at your parents. You know what I mean? Like, that's the feeling I have, but they're just fucking broken. There's something broken inside of their brain. And it's, again, not to give them any kind of excuse, but man, I feel bad for them just as much as I'm angry.
Yeah. We're still trying to find a place to where we have forgiveness and a heart for
her. Yeah.
And the best way that I can do that is to take care of these kids the best way I can possible.
100%.
And it's hard when you know that you've been manipulated so many ways while you've been trying to help her.
Yeah.
And then you've reached the point where you're like, I don't know what else I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hope she gets help. I hope she can clean up. We wanted her to be able to do it to get her children back. We were rooting for her we weren't not rooting for her. We wanted her to succeed.
Yeah.
But once she didn't, we went through with the adoption because that was the best thing for the children.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But Jesus.
So she has she fought that? Or I mean, has she fought for the kids or kind of just been like.
She hasn't been willing to admit that she has the problem that she does.
Mm. So she just thinks she's getting screwed over. You guys are screwing her over. The government's screwing her over, probably.
Oh, yes. The stories that are spread right now, that I can tell you that are getting spread right now, is that we do not give her visitation. And according to her, that's court ordered. And I can tell you right now, Tennessee does a closed adoption, only does a closed adoption. And me and my wife are the only ones that have any legal access to the children. No one else does.
And why would someone who cared, you know, obviously she's in denial of what's going on, but in the back of her mind, she has to know she's not good for them. And it would just fucking cause them issue for her to try to push into their life, even with visitation.
I think that goes back to what you were saying earlier, though, that even people like that, especially in my sister's case, is that they can't swallow that pill and say, hey, I fucked up. I messed up. I'm wrong. I need to fix something. Or as like yourself, you've sought help. Ty is doing things differently. And even now you hear that I am too. Like, hey, I'm not scared, even at work, to throw up my hand when I mess up and be like, hey, I fucked this up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to try to find a way to fix it. And I think that's her biggest problem is she's not willing to sit down and take accountability for her own actions.
Yeah.
She thinks that someone else owes her something and should give her something to get her out of it.
And she's just a victim across the board, probably, in her eyes.
Probably so. Yeah. It's the court pushing me down. It's my stupid brother took my kids from me. You know.
That's wild.
I think that could have a play into it.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, when you... I always try to, and I brought this up before, I try to go the Rogan route. Rogan says this, and it's something I try to think about. I try to think about people when they really upset me that, like, they were just a baby, man. Like, at one point, they were just a baby, and they were, you know, didn't choose their where they were born. They didn't choose who they were born to. They didn't choose how they were raised. There's so many factors for all of us, and some of us get out of it. You're a perfect example. You get out of it and you're able to live a good quality life and thrive as a normal human being, and others don't. And how angry can you actually be at them? How much of it is actually their fault when most people's personality is developed before you're 4 years old? You know, but it's at some point you're like, you're a fucking adult, man. Like, you got to start taking responsibility and thinking for yourself and stop making excuses. I even have a hard time with that sometimes with my own life. And I know. And when somebody's in that headspace, you just wonder, like, could therapy help? You know, is it, she clearly probably has some type of narcissistic behavioral disorder, among other things, you know, where she's just incapable of putting the responsibility on herself. And that's fucking crushing, you know, but how do you not be pissed off at that person?
Lack of accountability, like you were saying, like that's the one that gets my goat every single time.
Especially when you can hear what these kids can, you know, tell their stories, what they've been through.
Exactly.
But
how do they feel? I mean, I'm sure by now they're accustomed to you being their parents. Because I raised my nephew after my sister died. He calls me dad, calls me every day. Like he's my best friend, but he didn't come out of my nuts, but. He adapted to that very quickly. Are they kind of in the same boat? Are they happy with you? And they understand the situation well enough, is I guess what I'm saying, to know that they're in the best place they could be.
The older two, absolutely. And I believe my two children helped integrate that way better. And then even the people that were around. So I'm friends with a lot of law enforcement, EMTs.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the famous Dorfels. The famous Dorfels.
Great family.
I mean, TJ's pretty much like an uncle to these kids. And
that's awesome.
And so their complete change of environment, you can see them thriving. They're all now thriving school-wise. The baby, even though she's a NAS baby has surpassed all her marks and continues to do so.
That's unbelievable.
And so she's actually way ahead of where the chart shows she should be with what she's been through. And we're going to keep pushing that. But yes, they've all done very well. But we're utilizing all the state sponsored stuff. So they're like in speech therapy. They're in regular therapy if they needed counseling.
I love that. That's
amazing.
The baby, she has, well, I mean, she's a toddler really now, but she has services. They come here still once a week to do stuff with her for mental function, physical function, stuff like that.
Wow.
Right.
Man, that's good on you guys, you know?
For sure.
And I think you probably feel how, you know, through years of people talking about me taking my nephew, you know, once my sister died, it was never really a choice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just felt like it was the right thing to do. And it got me through that whole process as much as I got him through. And I feel like once you become the parent, like a surrogate parent in that way or whatever, then you're like, this is just what I was supposed to do. You know what I'm saying?
This absolutely. We still fight some afterthoughts, you know, where it's like, what have I limited my two children, my biological children, with? Because now I've limited what I can, my resources for them. Right. Now I'm sharing those with five children instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that plays in the back of your mind, but you just push that to the side and you go, look how I've changed this baby's life. And you just push forward.
And you have to think, you know, whatever things that your kids might lose out on because of that, you have to think that what you're showing them, especially when they're older and they can really truly understand what you guys have done, that's going to plant an incredible seed in them moving forward, being great human beings as well.
Yeah. I'm definitely hoping to set a good example. Cause as we were going through foster care, we, decided to add on to the house because we absolutely needed to upgrade, taking on three extra children. And I decided to enroll with school, and then working for the post office, coming through the pandemic, we're working 6 days a week. So we dealt with foster care, me in school, working 6 days a week while doing an addition to the house. And I remember when I enrolled in school, man, my student advocate was like, "You're telling me you got five kids under the age of six, you work full time and you want to do school?" She's like, "I don't know if you're fucking crazy or my hero." And I was like, "Well, the VA already told me I'm fucking crazy, so let's go with the hero card."
Like, yeah, like I'd prefer one of those, but I bet I know which one it really is.
Woo! But the good news on top of that, though, is I actually just finished school in December and actually got into an honor society, finished in the top 95%.
No fucking way, dude.
Got freaking summa cum laude for gunsmithing. I did the SDI route.
Oh, that's rad. I like that.
That's why you see all the beautiful machinery back here.
I enjoy where you're playing your game.
That's what's up. Dude, save some pussy for the rest of us, all I'm saying.
Well, I was like, you know, dark humor, bad joke. It's like I can show off all the options.
Oh, yeah. Going downtown in an earlier round.
I love it. No, dude, you're an impressive human being, man. I mean, I'm not even. It's like when you being able to meet people and see what they go through on this podcast, it gives you a different perspective on your own shit, and it's just fucking makes me feel good to see somebody win and see someone going through something. And I know that you probably still struggle with shit. Mentally and emotionally through all that, you have to at times. God damn, dude, you are fucking winning.
I still have my belts, especially with the PTSD stuff.
Yeah.
We got there in 2011 to 2012 was my deployment in Afghanistan, and we were in the Arindal Valley. So we seen some stuff. With some of the special stuff that I did in the Army and the infantry, I got loaned out a lot of times. So I even seen some stuff that my own unit didn't even see.
Wow.
And I don't, but when I talk about it, I don't hold back. So, I mean, if there's any questions you want to know, I don't care to tell it.
Yeah, I'd love to know whatever details, whatever, I don't want to say traumatic, but whatever significant things you think would be worth talking about.
Oh, I mean, man.
We got to get into, you were medically separated, so you obviously were injured at some point.
Yeah. So that wasn't so much as like combat related, it was wear and tear on the body.
Understandable.
So to jump into that, so I have tendonitis in my hips is actually the thing that got me. And so my tendons and muscles swell up and force my hips out of alignment.
Mm. Ow.
And so I can get like 2 inches of separation, and it freaking hurts. I also completely shredded a muscle in my right shoulder. So the one on top here is no longer works. So if I bench press, this side does, my right side does not come up equal to the other side.
And then, of course,
got a little bit of hearing loss in there too. So
is that your whacking an arm?
Oh, no. Were you right hand? Yeah. I was going to say, did that affect your fast game?
No, no. It still works for that.
You know, I had to relearn how to use a hand that I didn't use in a manner that it was not prescribed to be used.
Well, luckily for me, I don't have to be like Ty and have to hold my hand way up here. It's not an overhand reach.
This guy. You have heard all the time.
Oh, no, he's joined the club.
It's only fun because you get so uncomfortable about it, dude. Oh, poor fucking guy. You got a big hog. That's so
sad. We're going to get through an episode one day where it doesn't get brought up once.
Well, I'll be the record keeper and let you know if that ever happens.
My mother is eventually going to listen to these.
She should feel proud of it, dude.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Tom. My mother's not.
I had the last girl that I had a partial.
Whoa. I wasn't ready. Oh, my God. Oh, dude. What's up, left field? Holy shit.
We might deal with
some shit. Got me good, you fucker.
But who says we can't laugh about it?
Dude, that's the other purpose of the podcast, man. It's like, can we talk about heavy shit and then laugh? Like,
dude, my buddy that works in law enforcement, he's like, you're so dark. He's like, I love you. I love you so much. Because he's like, I've worked wrecks and pulled, you know, shredded people out of cars. Ow. And so jump back on the Afghanistan thing. I told him, I was like, hey, man, I've seen the aftermath of a dude crisscrossing wires that he wasn't supposed to do. On improvised explosives.
Oh, yeah.
And Hamburger Helper in that next tree over there. And his buddy picking shreds out.
We had a dude who had a pinky bone lodged in his arm. And like after a suicide V-bed went off, no one got metal shrapnel from the vehicle, but fella had the assailant's pinky bone, the first PIP joint, stuck in his damn forearm. I was like, can I keep it? Like, if I go to the hospital, they're going to keep it. Like, can we just get Doc to take it out so I can, like, have it?
Make a keychain.
Dude, I was so mad that I didn't have the skin from my left calf, so I get it.
Man, I remember we had drop some mortars on some guys trying to set some stuff in. Of course, our mortar detachment did all that glorious work. And they were found on the riverbank the next day with the dogs eating on them. And then our battalion commander just eat that crap up since we were the Spartan Brigade. So they're like, drive them to the river, earn these shields. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's like, you're making it weird, bro.
Dude, we would make fun of that stuff. We'd be like, I'm going to pull the door off the armored truck and run around with it like a shield.
Yeah, because they're only 300 pounds. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Those doors suck. When you slam one on a person, Jesus.
I don't want to sidetrack the conversation, but before I forget, you said you know some cops. I'm really wanting to have a policeman on who's like seen some shit. like somebody who's done some city shit or something, you know?
Well, I could inquire and get back to you on that at a later date. See if he, I'll definitely try to introduce him to the podcast first and see what he thinks about that and go from there.
Yeah. Hell yeah. He doesn't have to say anything he doesn't want to say. I more so want to get into the psychology of it because I end up going down a rabbit hole lately where I've been watching a lot of like body cam videos. And it's like, on one hand, you see the ones where there's the horrible cop that gets fired and you're like, what a fucking asshole. But man, the amount of shit that those dudes put up with, there's no amount of money that, that you could
and
pay.
The amount of, and the amount of patience that most of these videos end up having.
Unbelievable.
Where somehow the officer is just, you know, even toned the whole fucking time. When all that screeching in my face, I can't do it for a very long time when it looks like me.
Yeah.
Like, and has half of my DNA. Like, I'll lose my shit, lock her in a room and go sit on the back porch for a minute. Like, you know, we need to just separate and take some deep breaths. Some of those videos, holy freaking shit.
Dude, somebody, when they start going ham and fucking calling them names and just saying crazy shit, threatening to kill them and do just crazy shit, dude. And they're just calm, dude, most of the time.
The amount of the ones that get me, it ends up being the nails on the chalkboard for me, makes my teeth itch, is the when they are clearly not in any sort of physical duress other than being detained.
Yeah.
And they start playing that, I can't breathe. Like, it's uncomfortable. You're hurting me. Like, making sure they're trying to get as many, like, megaphone it out as far as they can. I can't breathe while you're screaming at the top of your lungs makes me chuckle.
And all those,
because I'm just like, if you're screaming, you're breathing.
All those people be the first one to call 911 if something's going bad for them.
Yeah.
No, we need the cops, dude. We need the cops. I know everybody wants to defund the shit, but we need them. If you want better laws, get better politicians. It's not the cops' fault.
And then, hell, anytime when this stuff comes out, the only thing people hate these videos the most aren't urban youths or inner city this or big city that or LA this. It's freaking good cops.
Yeah.
Like, when a bad cop video comes out, the people who hate it the absolute most are good cops because they're getting their entire reputation dragged through the mud through no fault of their own.
Yeah.
Like, fucking horse shit. Like, they want bad cops out far more than you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
That happens to men, too, by the way. Men, if a man's shitty to a woman, then all men suck. We all suck.
Oh, yeah.
Because some guys suck.
Fucking bear of the man.
Yeah, the bear and the man thing is fucking driving me crazy, dude. Both sides of it. I mean, I'll be honest. If I'm in the woods and there's, I'm either going to see a bear or a strange man that I don't know, I'd probably rather see the bear. I get it. Men are fucked
that,
up,
that thing.
Yeah,
it's like we're fighting ignorance
really
every day.
Yeah,
and the only person I had a buddy at work tell me the other day, he's like, hey man, do you know how to get rid of, there's only one way that you can get rid of all the stupid people in the world, and that's to kill yourself.
Yeah, it's true.
I was going to say, take the warning labels off of everything, but that still wouldn't get everybody because a lot of them probably can't read anyways.
No.
But what's the end game is the point? Is that the dating is at an all-time low. It's absolutely horrific. Everybody's fucking cool with not being with somebody, or at least women, I should say, by everybody. Every dude sucks. They're looking for the absolute perfect thing. And then they come out with this fucking meme that's floating, you know? And it's like, what's your end game? You want to prove we all suck? Okay, you win. We all suck. Don't ever date us. Let's just not procreate and fall apart in 100 years. Whatever, dude. I don't understand what they're trying to gain. It's fucking annoying.
I have absolutely nothing to add to this.
Yeah.
Well, you said at every level, too, because now the with like the reparation pay and all that stuff. Or no matter what you do, you're the bad guy.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say at some point, no matter what ends up getting done, that's good for anybody is going to piss off a certain amount of people too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because something that's good for somebody is bad for somebody else, and just we need to stop having politicians who are trying to get what is only good for politicians signed and pushed through.
You don't even need to make it bad for someone. It could be good for most of the population and not bad for anyone else. And they're still going to hate. Look at like Elon Musk, like people like that, where there's just people just filled with hate and vitriol. And all they want to do is get on the internet and tear somebody down.
I think a lot of the world's problem today is instead of self-reflection, you just see your reflection on an app.
Everyone's projecting.
Yes. How many followers did I get on Facebook? Did people like my post? I'm going to be on Instagram instead of taking that time to sit down and really self-reflect and be like, how do I feel about this? Or how do I feel about that?
Yeah.
Or even things that you've touched on through the 13 episodes that I've listened to where I'm like, how do I feel about this thing?
Mm.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think I disagree with them, but why? And that's the only thing
I'm trying to do anyways, is start the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, if someone is right, or if everyone's going to decide that they agree with X, Y, or Z, I want to hear the ones for it, the ones against it, and the objective party, and freaking formulate my own thought on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying, you know, I look like those people, or, I want to be like those people. Like, no, I want to hear the whole freaking thing. And then I'll tell you which group I'm trying to be in.
People have an innate desire to just belong to teams, though. And if they get on a team that they think they're the right team, then they're just going to live in an echo chamber and fucking spit whatever, you know, regurgitate whatever they hear from whoever they listen to and feel like they belong to something. But going back to the social media thing, it's like you're spot on with that. And the funny thing is that none of what you see, even what you're, so many people, especially like people my kid's age, my daughter's 20, like comparing their lives to other people on social media, you're not seeing their real life. You're seeing the highlights. You're seeing the good parts.
So I actually got a story that fits right into this.
Okay.
So we're doing a lot of stuff differently now. We're homeschooling all 5 kids.
Love it.
Because we do not want to ask the school permission for anything with our children. I'll do what I want to with them, please.
Put more stuff on your plate.
Well, it's been wonderful. Actually, it's been very freeing.
Trust me, I get the why of it a lot. Yes. I just, again, having to myself, my thought is doing it.
Well, luckily,
I'm able to afford
her to stay home. But my wife also started picking up doing, she's like making bread. So we're trying to make a lot of our own food ourselves.
That's fun too.
We can make bread with 3 ingredients instead of 15.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she was making a cake for a party and she was really getting really down on herself. She's like, it doesn't look that well. And I don't know. I'm just thinking about throwing it away, going to the store and just buying one for this party. And I was like, why? And she was like, well, all the people that I watch do this, they get it right, you know, in a couple of tries. And I was like, Britt, you're seeing the one time they got it right, not the 60 that they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't get it right one time. I can almost guarantee that was not their first through 10th attempt that was in that video.
Watch them dudes that throw like 100 ping pong balls and they're like, oh, this was the 636th try.
Oh yeah, all those two perfect type dudes who are trying to get the CD in the thing from all those. I love the reality ones where you just see them just
absolutely.
that's why the excitement's so big, is because they've wasted how much of their life doing this.
They're just fucking sleeping and throwing balls.
But luckily, she let that. She listened to me, and we took that cake that she made, and it was awesome.
Hell yeah!
Because I mean, she used fresh fruit into it, you know, all that stuff, and it was just homemade's
always better.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, I mean, and it depended on the situation, you know, like if it was people you knew. I'm sure that it was an endearing thing, regardless of what it looked like.
I made this myself. Yeah.
My friend made that contest.
Well, and then something I'd actually like to touch on, talking about watching stuff on YouTube and stuff like that. Sometimes when I get into my deep, dark feels, and I'll sit out in the front yard and listen to music till like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Nice.
And
Skeeter bites.
And when I'm having some definitely deep deep thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually come across a PTSD song.
Oh.
By Joe Bachman. And it had Tyler Southern in the video. And just then
yeah, and that's the guy I was playing music with the last 4 years.
So I made the connection about halfway through listening to all y'all's episodes, and I was like, no way. I went back and looked at it, and I was like, dude, I played this thing like 15 times.
That's crazy. That's
hilarious. I love that. Yeah, but, beautiful song, and that was a beautiful process to make the video too. TikTok too. Every once in a while, I'll get a comment who's like, dude, you look a lot. Are you that guy? Or like, hey, he's that guy from the, and I'm just like, what? This has been an underlying thing, like in military culture for a little bit, apparently. And I'm just like, I'm glad it, I hope it helped people too.
Yeah. I don't remember what episode it was, but Zach was talking about it, and I immediately hit the brakes and I was like, wait a minute. I paused the episode, opened up YouTube, and I was like, no shit. I was like, yep, this has helped me out too. Because
that was like 10 and a half years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like some of the stuff I deal with now with the PTSD side is I've had nights where I wake up, feel like something's wrong. I'll clear the whole house, not realize I've done it, actually wake up, feel like something's off, and clear the whole house again.
Damn. Have you heard us talk about the SGB shot?
No. Yes, I have, because I actually had told my wife that she needed to do some research into it.
Yeah, tell her to look into it. I think we can hook you up. I think I can get you in, flown out, get the shot. It's not medicine, so it doesn't. There's no chance of any type of
physical addiction,
side effects, nothing. It's not medicine. They just freeze a nerve cluster in your neck. It's actually now a 2-day process, so they would keep you overnight. You take the shots, you go to your hotel, you do nothing. You chill, you sleep, you rest, come back the next morning, do the same thing, chill, rest. That's it. It freezes the nerve cluster 8 hours later. I've had it twice in both sides of my neck. Didn't do anything for me, but now the doctor had recently told Bachman that his words were either I didn't do it and someone else did, which is true. Someone else did. And he said, now we've changed the procedure a little bit. I'd like to have him back in. But some of our friends, including Lance from SFH, done wonders for them. You know, military.
Well, you also didn't follow the instructions at all the first time.
I didn't follow the instructions either time.
So that also could be part of it.
100%. Well, it wasn't because I chose to. It was because I literally had a flight.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm just saying, you couldn't follow the instructions.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, because I didn't want to sound like I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah. Waste these people's money.
No, but I'm look into it, and who knows if it'll work. From what I hear, it's 80 or 90% works. I mean, it works for a lot of people.
Oh, it made Lance a whole new person.
Yeah. But
like 100%.
For the love of a veteran, are good friends of ours, and she works directly with the doctor who does that. And he's got 13 published papers about it. It works for anxiety, works for a bunch of different things. But PTSD is the biggest thing that he puts it out for.
It basically resets your fight or flight. They freeze with lidocaine the nerve bundle that controls fight or flight.
Yeah.
So that when it wakes up, it's supposed to not know anything anymore and just go,
it's like
a neuralizer for your fight or flight.
It's like a reset for normal humans. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So you start over.
Control
Mario Kart.
Control Alt Delete.
Yeah.
But yeah, look into it and see if it's something you want to do, and I'll reach out to her and put you guys in touch, because I think she'd love to have you out there for it, and then we'll have you back on here to talk about what it's done for you, you know.
I like that too.
Bachman actually had it after the last episode he was on, and he suffers from not PTSD, but some pretty severe OCD and some other things.
Trying to rearrange Tyler's DVD collection.
I was going to say that's the first thing that always pops into my head, because he was the only person who was ever disappointed in the one-handed McGee alphabetizing 1,600 DVDs.
Man, I will say, though, that...
He came around the corner and was like, I don't like it. I was like, fuck you, man.
Listening this whole time through all 13 episodes has been like, I'm sitting there with you guys every time. And it's like, oh, man, I want to chime in on this. Yeah. I want to ask a question about this. Da-da-da-da-da. And it's been like that the whole time. It's been awesome.
Did you write anything down? Like, we'll get it.
No.
That can be the next segment, man.
I was like, oh, man. I can't wait to get on here and talk because it's been freaking awesome this entire time. You know, just man. I hope that my story can show people that you can get a lot of crap thrown at you and you can still come out of this on top.
No, dude, you've got the X gene for sure. Like, and then, yeah, no, you're a mutant. I can't believe the amount of shit that you've put on your plate. And we're just like, I'm at Honor Society, and we're just crushing everything in life right now. And I'm just like, God damn. impressed.
It's funny talking to somebody like you, and there's been a couple other people I've had on where I'm like, watching Rogan all the time, he has famous people on, right? But, dude, your story is as good as anyone's story. It's a fucking incredible story. It really is a heroic story. It really is. You and your wife both are examples of a lot of things, man, of a lot of important things in life where people's minds should be and where their hearts should be and what they should be putting, how they should be putting forth an effort for what, you know. I'm really glad that you've watched all the episodes.
And I was going to say, especially with marriage and this whole generation with marriage. Everybody is the moment it's got a crack or it's broke, run for the hills, trade it in for a new one.
For sure. And I'm
like, yeah, no.
No. Like, mm-hmm. No.
that's part of being an infantryman, too. It's like, hey, we're going to get down in this fight and we're going to fight till it's over. Yeah. That's it. We're going to lay in and obtain superior.
It is you and me against the problem. At no point is it. Yeah, that is my favorite line, and I'll never stop saying it to people who get into these arguments and stuff. Because I'm just like, so how quickly were you? This bitch was trying to stop me from X, Y, and Z, or how quickly was she like, this motherfucker is, you know, da, da, da. Like when you're on wrong, on you're not on the same team anymore. You're no longer having a productive conversation. It always needs to be y'all against whatever the fuck the issue is rather than like me versus you because I'm right about the issue. And I'm like, that doesn't solve the issue still. And now there's resentment.
Dude, I had a thing with my kids this week. I had to talk to them about my son was going through shit with his mom and I was talking to him. And I said that so many times in the conversation because of you. I was like, listen, it's not you versus you. It's you and you versus the problem.
Whoop, whoop.
I said it so many times, dude. It's fucking brilliant.
Well, and to expand on all that a little bit too, with TJ, I consider one of my best friends in the world, and me and him can talk back and forth a little bit. You know, when we're having issues, and that way we can get a little insight. But the way that we handle that is if I do say anything that I'm dealing with at home. He advocates for my wife, not for me.
Mm.
Not get an echo chamber. He's on her side as just as much as he is on mine.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And you need, you don't need someone yelling at you in an echo chamber because then you're gonna be led to believe that your spouse is the problem and that you have no issues. Hyped up,
like yeah. That's right. Yeah. You need a friend who's going to reality check you if need be. Just like because sometimes I mean. The other person is in the wrong, quote unquote. But like a lot of times it's, you know, you let this get away from you or like it was a group effort to get to where you're at. And freaking, yeah, you got a friend in your ear who's like, yeah, fuck that bitch. This is crazy. You're just going to keep on with that. It's going to perpetuate. Yeah. And that's not okay.
My middle sister, she's one of those that doesn't have a filter. So she'll just slap you on the back of the head and be like, you were stupid. Did you think about that?
Assault.
You need to rethink the situation.
Assault.
That's all right.
It was the wedding vows. It's fine.
Yeah, I think everybody needs more friends like that, man. Who can look at it from both sides. It's really important.
Oh yeah, no. If you don't have objective friends, or you don't go to your objective friends when you're having big beef, you're setting yourself up for a whole nother minefield of bullshit. Like,
you need
to listen to the people who will be like, "Hold on, wait, whoa, 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 why'd you say that?" Like, wait, what? You heard what I said, she said, so you know why I said that. Like, no. Why that? And I'm just like, shit. Now I got to analyze what I was doing. And I'm like, fuck, I was wrong too, ?
It should be a juggling act, man. I mean, it is a juggling act, and it should be a matter of trying to find some balance. And when you give people advice, like, you want to make people feel good and understand that they have your back, your friends, but you also do need to be a voice of reason at the same time.
Well, yeah, you don't want to make it seem like you're only on your friend's partner's side. Like, only. Yeah. Like, that's a different thing too.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
You trying to sleep with my wife? Like, the only good thing that would do would be it face the anger at him as opposed to the wife. Like, but yeah, no.
But man, it sure is fun though, because like our wives luckily are best friends too.
Hey.
And so if we're like, hey man, I'm going to be done early today, you want to go grab a beer after work? And I'd be like, yeah, man. And then one wife will tell the other, so both of them know, and we don't even have to tell them.
It's all
you
good.
Just tell one.
Just know it. One tell the other. All the secrets get passed that way too. If he knows, she definitely knows.
Well, sometimes it works that way.
That's usually just how you should. You should always think that if you're telling a spouse, that you're also telling their spouse.
The other spouse.
Like, when you're telling a married person anything, like, you should probably just go in with, there's a very high chance that at least one other person's going to hear this.
Dude, I talked to a friend today. This just reminded me. She told me not to talk about it on the podcast, but I'm just not going to
be. Oh, shit. Sure. Hours later.
Yeah. Ooh. She's from far away. Anyway, she basically had started watching the podcast, and she was going to call to give me, you know, critique it. And all she said was that she had to skip the part where we were talking about masturbation. That was her only critique. She was like, it made me uncomfortable. I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to stop talking about masturbation, but I appreciate the feedback.
My bad, ?
Yeah, that was about the extent of it. And then she was talking about some other shit. I thought that was funny, though.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we're all going to find stuff that we disagree on.
Of course.
But you got to be able to have discourse, or at least get past it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You can disagree and still be friends.
Yeah, and I'm glad her response. I mean, that is the kind of the correct move, is if you don't like it so much that it bothers you, just skip it. And she did. And that's cool. I don't mind that. She didn't, you know, ask for us to be canceled or tell me to stop, really. She just said I didn't like it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, the whole part made I probably wouldn't want to hear it. I guarantee you that's going to be a part. My mama going to skip over.
Just like, I don't hold it against Ty that he was a Marine, but if he was a Cav Scout, that'd be a different
story.
Oh, no,
he was an 0341. He was an infantry mortarman. My brother was 10th Mountain out of Fort Polk, field artillery for you people.
Fourth brigade.
Them and the 4th Brigade down in Fort Polk, Louisiana. That horrible place. Jesus. Sleazeville, Louisiana. He was funny. That was one of the few awesome memories with that dude, was the sat phone. He deployed after me, after I was injured, which is insane on the face of it, because under the Sullivan Act, he didn't have to. But he trained his boys, so he wasn't going to have his boys go without him. And I respect that deeply. But I'm in the hospital doing my thing, and sat phone, we keep trying to get triples, man, but these bitches keep dying. I can hear him say it, like just so much going on in the background, like where people won't shut up because he's on the phone or nothing. Like, I can hear it like it was yesterday, and it was 2010. And he fucking... every hit, man, we're in the scopes. We keep trying to get a triple. Bitches keep dying. Darn.
Man, I remember the hardest hitting thing about the any part of deployment was on the way back smelling perfume for the first time again.
Jesus. Grass.
What was it? Just
after Iraq, it was grass was the grass. Big problem. Like cut fresh cut grass. Perfume wasn't a beef, but yeah, no, because where
no,
we...
I mean like elated, excited.
Oh no, okay, we're talking different things. My bad. Carry on. Yeah. Perfume does do something special. Just like when the random logistics train that came through that had the lady driver. I know what you're doing.
The perfume and fresh cut grass made you both hard as a rock when you got back from Iraq.
Honestly, fresh cut grass is amazing. It was a good thing, but it was the one that it was the immediate smell that hit home. I never finished a deployment while dating somebody, so I didn't. That wasn't something that I had waiting for me when I got back, kind of thing.
No, on that kind of topic, when we got back and we were standing in formation. The entire company, one of the power lines snapped and gave a huge pop. And then you knew who deployed and who didn't because yeah. We were all in group.
Who got me? Someone made me jump like a Oh, dude. Sorry, I almost just said a thing. Someone made me jump like an idiot on this. Who did that? What happened? Do you remember what happened?
Oh, it was me. It was something I did with we were trying to,
something or like into the mic or something. And
we were trying to play videos and I couldn't get the thing to work. It was that night when I was having all the problems and I clicked a video and it just went boom and like made
out of note. Yeah.
Yeah. You shit yourself, dude.
Yeah, I turtled into my hoodie so damn fast.
It'll happen. It definitely will happen.
We're just spitballing and talking at the end. And then, yeah.
Man, and it's so funny, too, because when we were in country, we'd go back to the larger base to resupply, do the maintenance on the trucks and stuff.
Yeah.
And you'd be standing in the chow line, and then the alarms would go off for mortars incoming. And then we were just like, oh,
here?
Well, chow line got shorter.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I'm staying here, no matter. It ain't gonna get to where I'm at. Like not in the chow hall,
man. I remember the first time I ever got shot at with a recoilless rifle.
Ooh.
So I hear this wicked thing coming over and we're guarding the trucks, and I was like, what in the crap is that? And it just flies straight overhead and it sounds like a freight train coming through there, and I was like, hey, the fuel point's right down there, I'm kind of scared. And it
boom,
overshoots the fuel point and hits one of their mosques behind our little installation.
Oh, so, shit.
Look what you did, dummy. Dude.
It's like, I wonder if that helps the guys inside that mosque with their own religion.
Recoil is that a... It's like a RPG kind of thing? Ish?
Kind of, yes. So they're reloadable. They're not... One use and done. They're usually a little heavier caliber. I was an assistant gunner for one actually.
Yeah.
For a Carl Gustav 84mm recoilless rifle, and you could unhatch the back, slap a shell in, slap it down, shoot it. But they had some as well that were more Russian made, I believe. And they had like a little thing on the back where they'd slap the shell in, put it down, and lock it down, and then shoot them at us.
Mm.
Kind of like think of like a potato masher, a potato gun, something like that.
No, I play Battlefield.
Yeah. Oh, hey, speaking of games, you should try Asanzo with us sometimes.
Asanzo?
Asanzo. It's a World War One base shooter.
Oh, okay. And, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's you don't get to slide around. Someone points at you, shoots, you're dead. That's it.
Yeah.
Do I get to fight in Bellow Wood?
Well, Asanzo is the one based on the Italian front.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound like where Bellow Wood is at. That don't sound French.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're thinking Western Front. But I understand why.
Well, yeah, that's where we got Devil Dog.
I grew up with this with a massive
fascination. Why the French don't speak German, part one.
I grew up with a huge fascination with World War II, so I always liked World War II games in general.
Mm-hmm. But, Medal of Honor Am I thinking the right thing?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah. But like, if, I don't know, you were just what you were talking about. If you never that played Hell Let Loose.
Hell Let Loose. It's a lot more realistic. So is Asanzo to a degree. Like the reloading the weapon and stuff is all very accurate. Because I can tell you for sure, because I have a lot of the firearms that are in the game.
Oh, that's dope.
I would say loading a bandolier was not a quick endeavor.
Well, like the case you see behind me is all U.S. made. So there's a U.S. made Mosin, Lee Enfield. I actually got the Ithaca Model 37 trench gun in there.
Damn.
And my wife collects too. We actually just got a BAR.
Woo! Oh, no shit. Like World War II era?
It's a modern reproduction made by Ohio Ordnance.
Okay.
But it is true to form, other than being multiple projectiles coming out with one trigger pull. It doesn't do that.
Right.
Kind of the opposite, but same coin. Tools that have bodies on them. This Halligan tool is a retired New York City Halligan tool. Like a firefighter buddy got a hold, they got one that they were about to scrap, and like he ground it down and greased it up and presented it to me as a thing. Cause I told a lady that, a nurse who was going to visit them as a joke, get me a Halligan. And she fucking listened. But I thought it was new and stuff. Whenever I met the man, he was like, I don't know where she got a new one. The one I gave her was old. I was like, you used it in New York City? it's got lives attached to it. Hell yeah. Like, so yeah, that sits up there in a place of pride and honor.
I have no idea what a Halligan tool is.
It is a special instrument to help you breach doors.
It's a giant crowbar pickaxe,
yes,
type thing. I can't really pull it down without moving some shit. It's heavy.
No, you don't have to do all that.
But it's baseball bat length, pry bar, pickaxe, and whatnot. Anything you'd need to breach a door or a wall or whatever inside of a burning building.
Wow. Yeah,
they have videos where they punch them through the exit doors and put a piece of rebar through and hit the exit handle.
Mm-hmm.
But we used them in Afghanistan to breach the doorways
as well,
because they would make these giant mud walls that were thick enough that they could bounce 50 cal shells off of.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I can tell you that. And they would put steel doors on them, and then we could use the Halligan tool to go up there and bust in that bitch if we didn't feel like playing with C4 for whatever reason.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Or shape charges or the deck cord, all that bullshit.
They're shooting at the other exit. Let's just make one on this side of the wall.
Yeah, let's just. Come here. That was always the thing for. We're 0352s. I don't know what y'all call your assaultman. But yeah, it was the when life closes one door, make a new one. Like, and I was like, let's go.
Because all the guys that rode with us, we were all just 11 Bravos. And well,
just
you had your
trained as fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you had your 11 Charlies, which were the mortarmen. And then of course we had JTACs from the Air Force helping call in our air support.
Yep.
But everyone was just trained in a different thing. And I got trained on multiple things, cause I did like the, crow system. So I could sit inside of the armored trucks with a little joystick with my machine gun on top.
Fun.
Yes, definitely a lot better than sitting in the teacup.
Oh, dude, spin me around that dang teacup.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I ended up getting a lot of specifications over there. Actually, know someone through TJ as well that his boss actually helped develop that crow system.
That's awesome.
It's amazing how small the world is sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Learn that many times over.
Absolutely.
Yeah, anywhere else, dude? Thank you.
People coming in the room, or is that just the dog?
No, he keeps nudging the table and has his butt right here. So I'm just like, anywhere else, get out of my junk.
Maybe your junk needs to get out of his way.
There is a lot of house for him to be in right now. I'm in one corner of this bitch.
Have you seen your junk, dude?
Dude. So this one time in Afghanistan, we was walking, right? And the ground was like, pick him up! Woke up 2 weeks later missing some shit. What?
You got to fly like Neo in the Matrix, though.
Yeah. I do wish Ronovich had a body cam on. Because he'd have caught me off that wall. They said how I bounced off the wall, got me out of the blast cone, thus having a piece of me to find. And I'm just like, man, why didn't our two men have cameras on them?
Oh, man, that'd be ridiculous. They wouldn't ever work. They wouldn't ever work for us.
I just know guys who had GoPros. I don't know if they actually have body cams kind of things that were like supposed to be issued.
We definitely did not. I know there was a guy.
I know guys wore GoPros like when you ride your motorcycle around town kind of thing.
All the video we had was very limited because anytime that we got in a tick, no one was like, yeah, I'm going to get my shit out and take pictures.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why the GoPro would make sense. They just turn it on at the beginning of the patrol turn it off at the end and then freaking edit it way later.
Don't they still have like war journalists and shit?
Technically, yeah. But unless there's a – this has not been the most popular to know about it war. And that was part of the whole thing was that they stopped reporting on it kind of altogether. But Kandahar and all the places that had a lot of bodies on them ended up having big stories told by folks who were embedded with the units and such. Outpost is based on one.
Man, watch the Hornet's Nest.
Yeah, I've heard that's wonderful.
It was filmed the same year that I was in Afghanistan.
Crazy. Mm.
And it's very accurate to depiction of what a lot of us went through.
I have a hard time watching those anyways. But sorry,
I was going to ask, what's that like watching that?
Every time I watch it, I cry.
Really?
Yeah. If I need a good cry, I can watch that. I can skip to the end of it and watch it, and I'll freaking cry.
Does it trigger more, nightmares and shit like that and, like, cause anything afterward, or is it kind of just
through it? I haven't noticed that.
Okay.
I think it's more of a connection and reality of like, hey, you just went through this. You've been through that, or not to the T, but something similar.
Yeah.
And so it gives you a lot of relation I think watching it could actually help a lot of people realize that, look, here's a whole nother group that went through what you did too.
Yeah.
And stuff like
that's
that.
That's a huge one for a lot of dudes for sure. The whole, no one gets it. So I'm like, if you can't find like-minded individuals or people with a similar resume, which I don't know why you desperately need that of all things, but, you got at least this. It's a true-ass story about motherfuckers who did exactly what happened to you. Like, they're real. They exist. It's out there.
Yeah.
And hopefully that could be a stepping stone to the next steps to being seen or getting help. On my end, mine's not PTSD based. I don't have any interest in the modern war movies for some reason. Like, I haven't seen most of them, like beyond Jarhead, which, such a terrible movie.
If you used to do porn, you probably don't like porn now.
Maybe, yeah. Like if you worked at a restaurant, you can't do X, Y, and Z. You can't eat this food because you peeled so many potatoes. Whatever. I have no interest in. Like, I have no drive to watch those movies. A World War II movie or a Vietnam movie, I'm more intrigued because I've never done that. And I still think that those dudes, Vietnam, Korea, World War II, and prior, are a whole different breed than we were. Like those dudes are my heroes still and will always be. And we may be cut from the same cloth, but they're a bigger portion of it or something. I don't know what it is like, but I'll never feel on that level. So that's part of it too. You get to watch your heroes rather than like, oh, this is a documentary of shit that I've witnessed.
They're definitely a special generation.
I like using the hornet's nest as an example to like people who don't know, they can go watch it.
That one, and they can realize. Yeah, for sure.
Because like something I've been doing for a few years now is I got a 40-minute drive to work, and so I turn on something history related, and I try to learn something. Hmm. And I love like the Diadochi Wars after Alexander died, the Roman history, stuff like that.
Okay.
But as far as some of those people still cover, they cover like the modern stuff going on in Israel and Ukraine, have no interest in it. Don't care.
Yeah, well, give me a minute till it's history.
Yeah. Well, and then it brings up that point of, well, with what blinders do they have set on when they're recording this? Because even when you look back at the Roman historians, they're like, hey, man, I'm recording history for this emperor who is currently my emperor, so I'm going to make him look good. You got to think of who are they trying to make look good? Who are they trying to appease? Is this really what's going on? What kind of information are we getting?
Yeah. How seen were they trying to get in their time?
Yes.
Like they were getting the scoop and, you know, flourishes here, embellishments there, so on and so forth. Yeah.
I could see that.
For sure.
Not 100%. I'm not 100% this is going to work, but let's watch the trailer for Hornet's Nest. Let's see if it works.
Oh.
Let's give it a shot.
Because I've heard good things, but I haven't seen the trailer or anything.
Yeah, it's uploading now.
Well, geez. Sit and wait, staring at each other awkwardly.
When the audio kicked on and the ad popped up, did you guys hear that or no?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Okay, good. I was making sure because it was like, I don't pay for the premium shit or whatever.
Yeah, you haven't scared me this evening.
Oh, yeah. He's got his Hims commercials playing. If you have ED.
Oh. Rated R. In the mountains of Afghanistan. Oh, sorry.
Your measure's not found in how much time you have on this earth. It's what you do with the time that you have. These people have suffered for too long. Change the course of history. Ask him what this wire's for.
I don't like that at all.
I don't think you're Taliban. Hey,
no one's ever dared to go in there.
I don't think anybody was prepared for what it was going to be like. Some of us had the worst in mind.
They're fighting not only for this war on terror. They're fighting for their fellow soldiers.
Don't forget me.
They gave their lives for the people back home. Whether those people agree with this war or not, it's who they gave their lives for.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
10 out of 10 would bang.
Yeah, it looks heavy.
Yeah.
Where is it streaming anywhere? Is it on any streaming services, I wonder?
I'm not aware. I bought a copy that I loan out to anyone that I recommend it to.
The one you need to watch if you really need to cry is Taking Chance, though.
Man, I'll be honest that one of my favorite emotional movies to watch is Safe Haven.
Never heard of either.
Nicholas Sparks' Safe Haven?
Yes, Nicholas Sparks' Safe Haven.
I love that movie, BT Dubs. I love Josh Duhamel. I love Julianne Hough as an actress and a singer. It's funny because she's mostly famous for dancing, and that's the main thing I don't know anything about her career on.
I don't know anything about that, but
yeah, she was a dancer before she sang or acted.
That movie is just, it hits home.
It's a good
it's
one.
It's on big. Yeah. You know, escaping one situation to be in something better. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it can catch back up to you.
Woo.
Then the lucky one got me good as well. With old Zac Efron and Taylor Schilling.
Yeah, I've seen it, but it just didn't. Like, I will put on Safe Haven.
That's fine.
Doesn't have to recommend it at all. But the other ones, I'm kind of like, eh. But that one, I'll seek out and watch it.
It's a good movie for sure.
What's Safe Haven?
It's a Nicholas Sparks book turned movie.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
He's the guy that wrote The Notebook.
Oh, okay.
And he wrote a lot of other books that have similar twisty turny romance situations.
Got it.
An abused wife is running for her life and ends up in a little town in North Carolina, where Josh Duhamel has his own history, and they link up, and her past catches up to her at some point, and chaos ensues for a little bit.
Mm.
Basically, that's all the predictable and or synopsis stuff. The rest is up to you.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's a hell of a twist that always gets me too, and I'm just like, oh shit!
Oh yeah, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about too. Yeah, whoa. Definitely.
I'll try to watch both of them. Why not?
Hell yeah, those are two very different films, sir. as far as tones,
I like all different kinds. So I'll watch them both. I'll watch them back to back and really fuck myself.
Hell yeah!
Well, if you do watch Hornet's Nest first and then go to the other one,
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I was because you end up feeling you're in a good place at the end of Safe Haven.
Especially when the majority of my video content now is Bluey.
Oh, Bluey. That's what he is. Who's the Bluey dog? It's like, his name's Kane.
Yeah, we have many Australian Shepherds, and nice. They are fun.
Got the Blue
I love Australian Shepherds, man. Smart, smart dogs.
Oh, too smart. Like Velociraptors.
Yeah. They're amazing. My buddy had exactly that dog. Used to go to the fucking fridge and open the fridge and get beers and shit. No, he had a border collie and a mini Australian Shepherd. It was the border collie that used to go get his beers out of the fridge. It was wild.
If you want to see a wild time, ride a horse that drinks beer.
Do they get drunk?
They can get a little messed up.
They probably could, yeah, but.
But that's something I used to do when I was growing up, is we ride horses a lot of time. Because my dad works for a cattle farm now, and we keep horses there. And they had them trained at one point to where if you got drunk and fell off, the horse would just stand over top of you and make all the other riders go around you until you got up enough to get back in the saddle.
Yeah, so you didn't get trampled by other horses. I like it.
And then your buddy would carry a bungee cord and bungee cord your butt back into the saddle.
Yeah. Dummy cord him to his goddamn horse.
That's hilarious.
I've never dummy corded someone to a horse. I've dummy corded someone to the side of a Humvee, but
well, like I started riding at 6 months. Oh, they started toting me along, and so there's a big horse ride here about it's on Memorial and Labor Day weekend, and about 400 plus riders, and I would get up to the campground and then just take my saddle and blanket off the horse, and ride it around. Just bareback, and some of the people, you know, by that time they're plastered. They're like, "Hey, man, where's your saddle?" It's like, "I don't fucking know, but if you find it later, come let me know. I've been looking for it all day."
One of you some bitches stole it. I came here with the saddle. I don't know how the hell.
You just see those gears trying to work, and they're just like, I don't know.
You've been on it the whole time? Like, yeah.
I don't know how this is supposed to happen.
Had it, don't have it no more.
When there's 400 horses in one place, they all get along, everything's cool, like nothing weird ever happens with them.
So if your horse bites or kicks, you're supposed to put a certain color of tape on their tail.
Oh, okay.
To let other riders know. But there's a lot of trails and stuff, but we're in a very rural county, because like this entire county has, I think we just upgraded and we got four stoplights. We got four red lights in the entire county.
I live in a tiny ass little town in Illinois, so I get it.
Yeah. I was raised in the largest county in America, so I don't get it.
there's a Dollar General, a fucking Pizza Hut, a McDonald's, two gas stations, and a couple of bars, and that's it.
Well, I remember one episode Ty was talking about coming to Tennessee, and you were saying Cookeville, around the Cookeville area. Yeah. It was, I'm like an hour away from there.
Yeah, my parents live in that area. They have a house up there.
Mm.
Sorry, he's making me nervous.
I've been through Tennessee a lot, but I've never really, really hung out. I've been to a couple of hockey tournaments that my son played in Nashville. Definitely been to a strip club with System of a Down in Memphis. But other than that, I have a lot of just passing through on the way to Florida. Seems cool. Stayed in Chattanooga a lot.
Yeah, that place is fun. We have a lot of fun down there.
I've hung out in Cleveland and Chattanooga. The man my son's named after was raised in Chattanooga. He's still up there somewhere. Sergeant Talon Thomas.
Sarnt?
Yeah, Sarnt. yeah, so any of my time there has been, yeah, Cookeville or that area with Thailand and them.
Yeah, if you happen down across the Georgia line, there's a to the Civil War battlefield down there. They have a museum in the center down there that has like a collection of firearms from the Revolutionary War all the way up to modern.
Wow,
it's pretty cool to check out. And our training battalion for the Army, when I went to basic, actually was one of the units that fought in that battle. So we went down and traced the unit's steps through the entire battle.
No shit. Sure.
It's pretty cool to check out.
That had to be cool as fuck.
That is rad for sure.
Yeah.
There's a place not far from where I grew up in Missouri where they do there's like a Civil War site and they do a reenactment every year and all this stuff. I never really spent much time out there. I went through a couple times. Looked cool as shit though. It was weird. I was always fascinated with World War II, but not much else outside of that as far as military was concerned. Though my brother served, my dad served, a lot of my family served in various branches. I mean, the day after 9/11, I was ready to sign up like everybody else in this fucking country.
I was in first grade.
Seventh.
I was too old to go in probably at that point still. I don't know how old I was, but I remember laying with my future wife and baby mama.
Army's like 38, bro. Like,
oh, really? They'll let anybody in, apparently.
Well, actually, I enlisted at 17. I did their delayed entry program and ended up getting $19,000 as an enlistment bonus for infantry, which was unheard of.
Damn, that's something the Army does. We there's technically one for the Marine Corps, but they don't offer it up. The only reason I got and ours is only $3,000. Like there's not like a if you do infantry, you get this much. If you do nuke or whatever else, you know, you can get $32,000, whatever. My dad threatened to kill the master sergeant in charge because he thought they lied to me. My father was a recruiter in the Navy for 11 years, and he signed all of the paperwork for his 17-year-old to join the Marines under the guise that I was going to go air crew. And I am colorblind AF. So I changed it to ground option. I did that. They didn't like screw me over and make me choose it. Like I did that on purpose, but yeah, he kicked down the door and thought they were swindling his son. Like not my son. Like he knows all the rules still. Like, and he shot up there, and they were like, if we give him the signing bonus? And I'm like, there's a fucking signing bonus. Like, you never mentioned that once, man. Like, and it's like, oh, cool. So I made $3,000 extra because my dad's got a temper and knows when to throw his weight around.
Now, my recruiter was trying to talk me out of 11 Bravo. He was like, man, all soldiers carry a gun. You're smart enough. Do whatever you want. And I was like, no, I want to go infantry. Got to be in the infantry.
Wow.
Okay. Here you go.
That was he talked me into the Marine Corps with the infantry basically because I was going to go my whole life was Navy. I wanted to be like my dad and eventually like my brother and I was going to go search and rescue like my brother. And then talking to the Marine recruiter, I was just like that sounds awesome, doing my own thing. Like, and all, everything you're saying sounds way more fun than the other stuff. Like the Hilo Dunker thing is the only thing I would have enjoyed doing as far as training goes.
But well, yeah. You know, if I would have followed in my father's footsteps, I would have been a truck driver and did cocaine. So
cocaine.
Just stay awake somehow while you're driving those fucking things.
Actually, I would say big props to him. My parents split when I started high school, and he quit.
Oh, wow.
And this man carried an 8-ball of cocaine in his pocket, and anytime that he felt like he's going to relapse, he'd pull out of his pocket, look at it, say it's not fucking worth it, put it back in his pocket.
Wow,
dancing that's fucking, devil.
That's powerful, because you know the majority of people in that situation don't have that kind of strength. You know what
Resolve.
I'm saying? Like they see it in somebody else's hand, they're going to want it.
Yeah.
The having it on them would be way too much. Like that, but that level of resolve is that has to be rare amongst career addicts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's at least a story, you know, that I got.
Yeah.
But that's one of the main reasons my parents split too, is he said he's going to quit and try to do better as far as for the family.
Yeah.
And then she wanted to keep chasing the high. And so, it ended.
Man, pot is plenty. I don't understand the concept of chasing the next bigger, better, different, whatever high. Like, I don't get that. Like, the whole in high school when you're young and nubile, I get the concept of it being a gateway drug. Like, if this is good, this other stuff's got to be even better. Like, I can get that. But, like, I didn't start this shit until I was already half a motherfucker and retired. And just I'm not like, oh shit, I love getting high as hell, and when my feet don't hurt, where's cocaine? That's got to be the best.
I think cocaine is terrible, don't get me wrong. I've done it a few times, and I'm not saying I would never do it again.
I've done it once.
I've never felt the need to chase that. What blows my mind is more the like meth and heroin and shit, where you're like,
needles.
Do you have the fucking internet or a television? Do you see how it works out for everyone? It never ends well, ever.
Yeah, it's like communism. It's just not going to work. Either you're going to die, you're going to end up in jail, or you'll figure it out and you'll quit. Like, this is the end. Like, and that last one?
I'm just saying, man. I've had heroin. People tell me heroin and meth and a few things are like, how fantastic they are, and people that don't do it, that have done it and don't do it, and they're like, it's the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, don't care, dude. There's never a point that I mean, you know, it's inevitable where it's going to go. There's just zero other path that's going to go. It's going to go bad. You're going to age quick. You're going to start scratching sores on your fucking neck and trying to suck dick for fucking dollars. You know,
I got these cheeseburgers, man.
It's like, people will see us out with the kids, right? With 5 kids. And it is amazing the amount of negative comments we get sometimes for having just 5 kids.
It's crazy.
And it blows my wife's mind. She gets so mad sometimes. And it's like, you have no idea what the situation is or why we have them. Because a lot of times you'll hear, you know what causes that, right? Oh, yeah. My sister did correct. Upgraded me for 3.
Get off her. Get off her, man. Man. All the jokes. I get the same thing with the wheelchair. I get the same jokes. And like some days I'm not trying to hear any of y'all. Like, careful, you're gonna get a speeding ticket. All right, you know, and that all of them, oh, that's a nice, how do you get one of those? And I was like, well, you got to sign a piece of paper and you got to go have some people yell at you for a little while.
Oh yeah, same thing with the post office too. You know, you get the no bills today.
This isn't my job, bro. I didn't like what comes to you isn't my job. Getting it to you is my job.
I just come up with funny stuff and just give them some random stuff. So like one of my favorites now is, they're like, how are you today? And I'm like, oh, I'm just trying to stay the same level of crazy. No less, no more. And if I can do that, I'm all right.
Nailed it.
TJ was talking about how annoying it is that people bitch when you bring them junk mail, and he goes, it's the law. I have to.
So we do this thing called current resident wars.
Yeah.
Where people put it back in there and be like, this person doesn't live here. It's like, no, you are the current resident. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings.
Deal with it, bruv.
I'm not like, taking this back.
It's not my job to take it back. My job is to give it to you. You've got trash receptacles and recycling bins. Go for it.
I am not at fault for you being the ultimate grocery shopper.
I feel like you're just like a dude that's standing out in front of Starbucks handing out flyers, and he's like, he hands it to you, and what he's saying without saying it, he's saying, here, you throw this away.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I bet if we could, we'd be that dude standing in Walmart going, welcome to Walmart, now go fuck yourself.
I'd be a greeter. I'd chase people down, too. You didn't let me say hello to you.
Now, we know where you want to be. You want to be at the riot with a shield and a baton.
Dude, if we could figure out a way to get a cow catcher on the front of my wheelchair and then something to block them from hitting me after hitting my cow catcher. Yes, please.
Yeah, let's get you set up with a Jeep from Jurassic Park. The Lost World.
Hell yeah.
Where you get up and it just shocks them.
Hit them with that cow exploder.
I don't know. I think it'd be more fun if he was in one of those little ball vehicles that they had in Jurassic.
I can handle some rollies as long as I'm not jettisoned from it. That's the only thing is I can hit people with speed and intensity now, but it's the one time because I'm flipping out of the chair after I hit you. Like there's no stopping that.
Dude, I was watching a video of you racing that dude the other day. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That was terrifying, dude. You should be throwing your hat in the ring for some fucking zombie acting, dog. Are you telling me they don't want a fucking quick moving zombie that's low to the ground like that, missing limbs? You could be in all the fucking.
I was trucking and he wasn't ready for it. That was the best part about it,
dude. You caught him on his first lap. You were on the second part or whatever. So you were coming back.
Yeah. So the video is from 2010 or 11. When I was still like 115 pounds, and me and the first African American triple amputee to survive Afghanistan, they couldn't control us half the time. So they gave us an hour each day just to try dumb shit, basically. We called it power hour and we were going to make a big thing out of it, but we raced one day. And I on all fours, elbows nub, just and he tried to do like a like an ET scoot. So yeah, I'm down and back by the time he gets down. How the hell did he do that? I was just like,
he turns around and looks behind him like, what the fuck? Dude, I wish I would have had you email that. I would have just played it on the fucking show.
Yeah, but it's on my TikTok, McNubs13.
I think I saw it on your Instagram.
I might have put it on there. Oh, yeah. Because I think that's the only thing Anthony has. Anthony McDaniel Jr. is the sergeant, the Marine sergeant that is in that video.
Yeah, he's a great dude. I was like, holy fuck, dude.
And then, but the wrestling match, though, he destroys me because two arms is way more than one arms. Like, he got his back. He has my head like this and my nubs like that, and he's just wrenching on my midsection. Like, and the gunny had to, like, grab him, yoke him off me. And it was instant. I didn't stand a chance. I'd do better now. But I was all of, again, like 110 pounds.
Yeah, I think you missed your calling. You need to start something called the Nub Olympics.
Well, I mean, there's Warrior Games and all kinds of stuff. But like if we did a more of a Smosh Dude Perfect comedy style thing.
Yeah,
Jackass, like as opposed to like, let's take this seriously and get countries and or branches involved. Get medals.
Yeah, you don't want everybody's introduction video of them in the gym working out. You want it to be some funny shit, dude.
Like, how did you get so fast? I chase people around the Walmart and make them think that I'm a terrifying zombie, and like show clips of people. And you, I'm gonna get you.
That's what I'm doing for Halloween. If I'm you, every year, dude, I'm just fucking scaring the shit out of kids.
I've been a zombie in haunted houses a couple times.
you should do it at a wholesale place like Costco or something. And just crawl out of a product and be like, don't get this.
Yeah, yeah. It'll do this to you. It's not contagious, but if you try this.
They didn't warn me of the side effects.
Dude, as fast as you're moving, dude, if I'm standing somewhere and you come flying up the aisle like that, I'm shitting myself, dude.
Well, because... So in my youth, more brash, I could take a hit in my former life. So I tried to get in bar fights a lot after I was injured. And I'm just not the story to tell your friends because either this little half motherfucker was talking shit and he beat the brakes off me, or like I beat the shit out of this little half motherfucker at the bar. Like, you don't want to tell your friends either way. But like my thing was always, if you get past the opening moves, I'm fucked. I'm getting punted because like I'm faster and stronger than they're ready for. But like if I don't break a knee or an ankle or something or get you down on my level quick, I'm getting swift kicked in the face. Like I'm going down. quick stomp and I'm out.
So
sorry.
We're getting close to that time.
Oh shit.
Chris, anything we didn't delve into that you want to talk about?
I actually got a little bit of a poem that I written that I wanted to read before we logged off. Because like I said, hopefully some of my humor and my stories help some people. And I wrote this when I was going through one of my little dark episodes. And it helped me, and I hope it brings some strength to some other people.
Hell yeah.
But so what I wrote is, my body is marked with scars. They do not show that I have been hurt. They tell a story of what I have overcome, that I am ready for all that is to come. And hey, we're still fucking here.
I love that, dude.
I love that. Whoa! I was thinking it was going to keep going, and then you were going to lose the plot. That short and sweet is perfect. That was, oh God, that was good. Thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate that.
Yeah, dude, I'm glad you were listening. I'm glad you've been listening. I'm glad that it's affected your life. I'm glad that you decided to come on with us and share your story, man. I would love to get you that shot just to see how it goes and then have you come back on. Let us know how it worked out.
We enjoyed your company so much, we want to stab you in the neck. But it'll make the demons go away.
Dude, and it was a, I'm not a needles guy, but it was a pretty painless procedure. Wasn't,
oh, yeah.
You know, it was slightly uncomfortable.
A local, nothing, basically.
Nothing bad. No chance for side effects. There's no kind of side effects from it.
Yeah, it'll work or it won't. Like it's right. you're not gonna lose the other shoulder function.
oddly enough, how they found it, there was a guy, they used to use it for pain relief or something similar to that. And there was a World War II vet that a lot of years ago was getting this SUB shot for that. And he basically just said, you know, I don't know what's going on, but my nightmares have stopped. You know, like a lot of things changed in his life from it. And they kind of found it accidentally. And then the doctor started researching. I can't remember the guy's name. But he's the one that does it. He does it in Philly. There's other places to do it, but likely they'll fly you up there and, put you up in a hotel for a couple nights. You'll go in the afternoon. On the only orders are you just have to be chill. Like you can't do anything. Don't go on, you know, social media and fucking watch some crazy. Like do is chill. Listen to some chill music. Lay
don't
around.
Watch Hornet's Nest.
Yeah. Just try to stay as even keel as you can for those 2 days or whatever is kind of the only thing you're supposed to do in order to like
cartoons
make it work its best. But we'd love to get you in on that, man. That'd be awesome. Sure. I got to make sure.
Plan on doing some research on it for sure.
Yeah, look it up. I researched it a little when I first started. I'm probably going to go get it again eventually. I just don't know when, but fuck, maybe we'll coordinate that. I'll see when she's going to do it, and maybe I'll go up there when you go up there or something. We can hang out.
Hell yeah.
Heck yeah.
Phone anyway. In. And we can have a chat as a team.
Anything going on with SFH right now?
Da, da, da. There's a couple things that potentially are happening that I can't talk about quite yet because I wouldn't want to jinx them more than anything. We got a Memorial Day event in Jacksonville, Florida on May 25th. And then, that's everything that's scheduled right now. But if anyone wants any more information on the company and what we do and the 50% of our net proceeds that will always go back to a charity, you can go to wearesfh.com.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the One and a Third podcast shirt, the SFH.
I'll wear our logo on a shirt real quick. Cool ass logo.
Cross brand thing. I think that'd be fucking dope.
I think we should do it.
Dude, what was I just going to say?
I know one of the owners, bro. I'll talk to him for you.
No, I know a couple of them. Today is Cinco de Mayo, right?
Yep.
I found out yesterday that Cinco, I know is 5, but I never processed that it was 5. And Mayo is May. I never fucking.
D is of.
I never put that together, dude. I never put that together until yesterday.
Well, yeah, I'm not calling you stupid out loud.
That's because it's technically Tequila Day.
Well, so it's technically 14 years since I got blown to smithereens.
Oh, today marks that date.
Yep. It is technically my alive day, is what the broke community call it. Oh. Yeah, today is the 14-year anniversary of me stepping on a bomb.
It's your alive day for the handy capable.
Yeah, that shit. the day my kids became a possibility.
Well, that brings even more reverence to we're proud you're still fucking here.
Right? What was that? I don't know. I don't really celebrate or talk about it. The week before and after, I'm in a weird lull. Like my brain is past all of it, but it's like my body's like, no, I'm not over it yet. Like, because it's a weird, just it drags me down, and I'm just like, all right, well, I'm gonna be in Blahville for a couple weeks here. So,
yay, Blahville.
Yeah, I like it here. It's awesome.
That would have been a good name for the podcast, really. Blahville. The Blahville podcast.
And the mayor of Blahville.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yep, sorry.
You can send us money to on Cash App to Polk Podcast. I don't have anything cool to promote or exciting going on. Sorry, I'm working on another podcast.
It makes you laugh every time.
Dude, everything makes you fucking laugh, dude. You're the giggliest motherfucker I've ever met in my entire life.
Hashtag I'm the problem. Oh, sorry.
No, it's like you're the light to my dark. You're the yin to my yang. I don't know how to fucking say shit.
Yeah, I'm the honky one with the black dot.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Thanks for sticking around. We fucking love you guys so much for those of you that support and watch. Follow us on social media. We always post shit there, except for last week when I forgot. Somehow, because I was sending you that clip of fucking Pokemon talk.
Ruined everything.
Jesus Christ, dude. Anyway, we're out. We'll see you next week. We're glad that you're still fucking here.